This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bob Nastanovich.
Good evening and welcome to the BrisNet call-in show, your hour to express your opinions on all things going on in the sport of thoroughbred racing. Callers are lining up. Again, the phone number, 888-966-4776. Let's go straight to the phones, Lee, and put on Mike from New York. How are you, Mike?
Oh, hi. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm sure that you, like everyone else, is your handicapping head is spinning these days.
Yeah. It's a tough one, especially based upon what, you know, looking at old videos of workouts, everything else. But I wanted to just get quickly. I know there's a lot of people probably want to go in there. I am kind of one of the very few people, maybe 1-2 percenters, who still kind of use the dosage, even though now supposedly it's calculated a little differently without Chef de Race or whatever it is. But
I use it.
2000. Oh, you use it. Okay, great. since 2000, you've really had, forget the takedowns, the taking a horse down, whatever. You've really had two that have actually won the race and have had, which I look at now, used to be in the 80s over 4. Now it's a dosage over 5. You had Always Dreaming, and to me that really didn't make much difference because you can get a lot of speed horses who don't have a high dosage on a sealed floppy track that can win, i.e. Conquistador Cielo won by 10.5, and that was over 4 back then. So anyway, the other one was Nyquist, and obviously that was a 7. And that one, but then again, neither one of them won past a mile and an eighth after that. So to me, this year is interesting because I'm either going to say I'm going to still use this or dispel it because two of pretty much the top 3 or 4 choices have over 5.
Fierceness, you know, Fierceness has a 5, and that's one of the
and
reasons.
And so does Catching Freedom.
Yeah, Catching Freedom doesn't have, Fierceness is the one. In my opinion, obviously being 5-2 on the morning line, you can expect him to go off of that. He's a 2-year-old champion. He waltzed in the Florida Derby, unquestionably was very impressive. He's a very fast horse, but he fits the profile of a number of horses we've seen in recent years that are bred to do their best running over a mile and a 16th and over a mile and an eighth. And of course, he's going to face new challenges. I'm a pedigree guy. There's several horses. I thought this was in a kind of an unusual field compared to recent years. There does look like there's a lot of horses that are bred to relish the added ground, which is sort of refreshing in this year's Kentucky
right.
Derby.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there
the
any
Japanese
in that small?
Always,
what's that?
The Japanese are always like 3 or less. Usually the Japanese are. The other thing is, to me, a Fierceness almost might end up reminding me of somewhat of Life is Good, who's one try at a mile and a quarter, and it kind of went backwards, even though the fractions were quick. But the only thing I wanted to tell you before I hang up here is I listen to a lot of the YouTube videos on all the trainers, all the jockeys, what they say, their body language, everything else, trying to get an extra read on that. What surprised me the most was today on one of your shows at HRRN, I think it's the Derby Countdown.
Yes.
I think the other day, it was either on a YouTube video or it was on your show today, yesterday, where Tyler Gaffleone was on, and he actually said towards the end of it, we're going to win this thing. And that's the kind of stuff I like to hear. But today, Bobby had and Jude Feld had Todd Pletcher on, and I've been listening to these guys for decades, right? I mean, I've been following this betting since the 70s. And basically, I was kind of shocked, and Bobby said, I believe it was Fierceness he was talking. He said, do you have any plans after the Derby? And to my surprise, he said, usually he just is very stoic and, you know, straight face and says, every trainer says, we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. He basically came out, I believe it was that, if I read it wrong, I got to listen to it again. I thought he said something like, if he loses, and that's not something I'm used to hearing trainers say, unless I heard it wrong or it was some other horse he was talking to, but I thought he was talking about Fierceness. And normally, because then he said maybe they'd look at the Belmont, but I kind of thought that's what he said. And like I said, because I'm trying to decide between those two, and if I get one that says if he loses and the other one says we're winning this thing, I think I'd rather go with the guy that's more confident.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Thanks a lot, Mike. Those are very interesting points. I'm not surprised at all that Gaffleone in particular is high on Sierra Leone. Obviously, in his young career, he's ridden a lot of brilliant horses, but that horse is just redoubtable. It's just, for me, it's a matter of him negotiating a trip. Obviously, he's going to take a huge amount of kickback from the two-hole. But what he's shown so far is a horse that is, you know, kind of still on the up and just has a world of talent. So of the short prices, you've got to like his chance. But again, Mike, I appreciate you a lot. Have a wonderful Derby weekend. Okay, you're listening to the Brisnet Call-In Show here on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Brisnet.com Call-In Show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
It's time to prepare for this year's Kentucky Oaks and Derby, and no website has better study materials than Brisnet.com. Want all the essentials to handicap both days for one low price? Then check out Brisnet's Ultimate Oaks and Derby Handicapping Package at Brisnet.com/plans. For only $29.99, get all your favorites for both days, including ultimate past performances, expert picks, and historical data from the past 24 Kentucky Derbies. That's $56 worth of handicapping products, all for just $29.99. Plus, you'll also receive 20% off all other Oaks and Derby Picks products when you purchase the package. Visit brisnet.com/plans now to get your Ultimate Oaks and Derby Handicapping Package.
Send your mare to Maryland. After she foals here, breed to one of our stallions, and your 2024 foal is eligible to be a registered Maryland bred, giving you the opportunity to earn significant bonuses. Beginning with two-year-olds of 2025, Maryland bred and Maryland sired horses will earn 40% higher breeder bonuses than out-of-state sired runners. Better stallions, better mares, Maryland breds. Learn more at MarylandThoroughbred.com.
The 2024 Spring Meet at Churchill Downs kicks off April 27th with a slate of exciting race day events leading up to the 150th Kentucky Derby. Following the Kentucky Derby, Churchill Downs Spring Meet continues with live racing throughout May and June, including the Grade 1 Stephen Foster on June 29th. With 50 stakes races worth over $25 million and purses powered by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, you will not want to miss the Spring Meet at Churchill Downs. You can learn more about each day and see available ticket options by visiting churchilldowns.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Charismatic. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the Brisnet call-in show. Again, the number to get in is 888-966-4776, 888-966-HRRN. We'll be joined shortly by James Scully. In the meantime, we've got a call from somebody live at Churchill Downs. Jeff, how are you this evening?
Hey, Bob, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, my friend. What's going on? You at the track?
Yes, sir, I'm at the track. I'm the caller that, you know, I was a jock agent back when you had Greta over here. And I called.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. How you been?
Oh, I've been doing great, doing great.
Okay, have you been cashing any of these huge numbers at the track? Today's had some huge prices.
Yeah, you know, I haven't, Bob. I haven't bet a whole lot today. You know, I kind of like to look at the turf races, and I've bet those and hadn't had any luck there. But I'm gonna get it all back on I'm gonna get it all back on Carl Spackler in the 11th race up here. I'm waiting on that one.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah, have they run did they run the Bango Stakes yet? The St. Matthews.
I'm actually in the car. I'm sitting outside of the state.
You're sitting in the parking lot in the car. I like that.
Detention barn. Yeah, you know, back like we would do back in the day, you know, and sitting here, right, you know, what used to be Jimmy Baker's barn, and before that it was Lily T Trainer. I'm skipping my mind.
Oh, that's a Lynn Wedding, my friend.
Yes. Remember where Lynn's barn was, right in the front?
Absolutely.
And anyways, I'm sitting right in front of that, best seat in the house.
What about the Derby? Who are your picks in the Derby? Have anything for us?
Not really that anybody else had, you know, nothing, you know, secret or nothing. I like Sierra Leone because I like closers, and I'm going to use Mr. Lucas with Just Steel just because it would be a great story. Asmussen and Lucas team up to win the Derby, but it's not Steve.
I assume since you've made it onto the backstretch that you've got pretty easy access. It seems like it's going to be a pretty wet day out there tomorrow for the Kentucky Oaks.
Bob, they've kind of tightened it up over here. If there's hardly anybody back here today. I don't know what tomorrow or Saturday will be like, but it's kind of dead back here, you know, compared to, you know, what it used to be. It's 90 degrees and full sunshine, too. It's beautiful.
Are you hustling book these days, or you're still just
no?
A fan?
I'm still trying, Bob. I tell you, it's so tough now. You thought it was tough when we had a jockey. Now it's tough just to get one.
Yeah, no.
I'm
starting at the top over there, you know, Jeff.
Yeah, you're right. Which I tried to do.
Yeah, what about an Oaks? What an Oaks Derby double? Do you have any interest in the Kentucky Oaks?
I got. Like I said, I'm. You know, I play kind of emotional stuff, but you know, I got a Lucas. You know, Oaks Derby, for the heck of it, and Keith Asmussen's riding them both. But I really like the 14 horse in the Oaks.
Leslie's Rose, yeah, the winner of the Ashland.
Yeah, if I was going to bet a big Oaks Derby double on the horse that I really thought would win, it would be him or her in Sierra Leone.
I really appreciate you calling in, Jeff. We're going to take a break on the BrizNet call-in show. Have a wonderful weekend out there. Enjoy yourself, and always good to hear from you, my man.
Man, I'm happy for everything you're doing, buddy. You deserve it.
I appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
To the BrizNet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
It's time to prepare for this year's Kentucky Oaks and Derby, and no website has better study materials than BrizNet.com. Want all the essentials to handicap both days for one low price? Then check out BrizNet's Ultimate Oaks and Derby Handicapping Package at BrizNet.com/plans. For only $29.99, get all your favorites for both days, including ultimate past performances, expert picks, and historical data from the past 24 Kentucky Derbies. That's $56 worth of handicapping products, all for just $29.99. Plus, you'll also receive 20% off all other Oaks and Derby Picks products when you purchase the package. Visit BrizNet.com/plans now to get your Ultimate Oaks and Derby Handicapping Package.
You're listening to Winning Colors Week. All this week on HRRN.
The Keeneland September Yearling Sale is the global marketplace for thoroughbred yearlings and the world's most important thoroughbred sale. The September sale stands apart from all other auctions. It offers a critical mass of quality yearlings at all levels of the market and the largest and most diverse buying bench in the world. The success of Keeneland September graduates can be seen at the highest levels of racing worldwide. The 2024 September sale begins Monday, September 9th and runs through Saturday, September 21st. Entry deadline is May 1st.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
This is the BrizNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the Brisnet Collins Show. Let's go straight into Tom in St. Louis. Tom, I didn't hear you earlier. It's glad to have you back. How you been, my friend?
I've been doing fine. How about yourself, Bob?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Obviously, filled with excitement.
Well, yeah, it's kind of an exciting weekend. Maybe something. Maybe there's a big race going on or two. I don't know. You tell me.
We both know that. We've been waiting a long time.
Yes, we have. All the work that we've done, and I guess the first thing I'm going to say is in response to the first caller from New York, well, of course Fletcher is going to say if I lose, because everybody knows if he wins, he'll be going to Baltimore. So I almost thought that was when he said that. That gentleman viewed it as not being confident. I almost viewed it as the other way around. Like, of course everyone knows we're going to make the trip down the road to Pimlico, and we're going to whip all the Baffert horses. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I guess the first thing I'll say is I want to say thank you to all of the people out there that had the bright idea to do the draw on Saturday night, because these extra 3 days have helped immensely with handicapping. I'd say I'm 80% of the way there. And by the end of the night, it will be, all the way there. Where in prior years, I probably just would have been starting listening to the program for help.
No, I think it's great. Yeah, it's great to have all these entries for, so many races, so many great betting opportunities, and it really gets the, gets you in the mindset, and again, like you said, provides a lot of ample time to handicap.
It's been unbelievable. I think this fierceness, I don't see him getting beat. I think he's going to go to the front. I don't know he's necessarily going to have the lead, because somebody's going to go out there and get crazy, but he'll be right there. It's going to rain. It's going to be nasty. Even if that track dries and it's fast, whatever, he won't get any kickback thrown at him or very little, and he'll come back and win.
Yeah, obviously there's plenty of speed to his inside horses like Dornock, who has to be sent from the inside. Really, I think a horse that he might end up in a stalking position, which I think he's certainly capable of doing. And his race in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he came from just off the
fine
pace.
Fine doing that. Yeah, he'll be fine doing that. I think I got an upset special for people, though, for each day. My upset special Saturday's in the sixth race. I really like that number one, Three Witches. I really think that horse is going to be kind of forgotten. And I don't know. I really like that horse a lot.
Let me interrupt you real quick, because Three Witches is kind of an interesting story. She ran in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, ran a huge race. She finished third in that race last year, came back. Her first race back was in the Santa Monica, but that's after she was purchased for $1.7 million for current owner Yu Sheng Zhang. Obviously, Flavien Perrat and Mike McCarthy, a Preakness winning trainer, they need no introduction. I think she's pretty interesting in there at 8-1.
I think McCarthy's brought a lot of horses. Everybody talked about endlessly, endlessly, endlessly. And I think it's very interesting that, he has got a couple or three in the, the American turf and horses like that. And I think this is one that everybody's going to look at Alba Star and Bava and think it's a showdown. And I think this horse is going to sneak on the board. And I think you're going to get 8, 9, 10 to 1. I'm not an odds maker. I don't make the morning line, but I just think that horse is going to slip through and people are going to see that. And they're just going to kind of discount that horse because they think it's going to be a 2-horse race. Just kind of my opinion. I really like, and as a single Friday, I like Denim and Pearls in the 8 Bells. I was really impressed with that last race that she ran. I just think that it's a horse, as Obezos just wins and makes a nice stretch run to win the 10th here at Churchill. I just thought that was really a nice, nice race that had. But I want to tell the Brisnet players something I noticed, and I don't know if you noticed this, Bob, and I don't know if you're a Brisnet player or a Thoroughgraph player or a racing form player. But, I was always taught by someone two things. Number one, always look at the late pace number, which is why I like the 15 horse in the Derby. But anytime there's a 10-plus margin between the first and the second horse and the prime power, you jump all over that. An early double to pad the bankrolls for everybody on Saturday in the second race, there's that, I don't know how to pronounce it, the horse Amat, Skyla,
Scylla, Scylla, S-C-Y-L-A. This was an allowance horse, allowance race, non-winner two, and this horse ran second or third in the Double Dog Dare last time at Keeneland, and it's in with just a bunch of allowance horses, it looks like. And
then did she close ground at Keeneland? Because if horses that close ground at Keeneland, you can move them up at Churchill Downs.
They did what? I'm sorry. Did she close ground
from off the pace?
Hold on one second. She was fifth and she ended up third. So for me to say she closed ground.
There you go. Yeah, she closed ground.
It said, you know, second state on is what the comment says in the form.
That sounds promising.
And then you look at the third race on that and you've got a horse that Fletcher has a mind frame. And that's like a 12 or a 14 point difference. So, you know, I mean, I guess my point being is if I got these past performances on Tuesday or Wednesday, I wouldn't come up with all this stuff early in the day. I'd be like everybody else, roll out to the racetrack at about 1 in the afternoon. This, I'm going to be there firing at 8:30 my time, just like it, you know, just like it's meant to be. And, I mean, I think that's wonderful about this sport.
Yeah, no.
I guess I'll give you a couple other real quick. You asked the other gentleman, the Oaks. I'm just going to play the big three, Torpedo, Anna, Ways and Means, and Just FYI. And I guess here my question for you is, I hear all this talk about where's my ring, where's my ring. This horse couldn't win in California. The trainer had to ship him across the country and go to New York and take on a bunch of weaker horses. And this horse only broke his maiden on April 6th.
You asked me, so let me answer that. I mean, she won at Aqueduct, and it was a nice race, but she laid over that field. Bobby had her as his best bet of the week. I think 15-1 in the morning line's a fair reflection of her chance. Of course, you know, she encountered – it's going to be a wet track. Now, when you handicap races, does that go into your assessments? Do you handicap for –
I will make all of those adjustments tomorrow when I see what the weather is going to be in Louisville. I'll get up at 5:30 a.m. Central Time and see what that's going to be. I'm not really a big player in when it comes to Louisville in the Midwest. I live in St. Louis as far as saying what the weather is going to be. I'll make adjustments. I've got certain things in there, but I'll take about an hour for each day and go through and make adjustments and go through there. So just to let you know, that's kind of how I look at doing that. Because I don't always like to play that if then, because that's another variable I don't want to put into it unless I have to. And then it causes me to think too much. And then that's where I lead into problems, unfortunately.
Okay. So basically, give us your selections again for the Kentucky Oaks.
Kentucky Oaks, Torpedo Anna. She's been training really well. Ways and Means, I mean, on paper, just the way that, you know, just head and shoulders above the crowd. The jockey got her beat the last time. And then you look at Just FYI, a wonderful training job by Mott. This year could have been lost by this horse because of the fever and having to scratch out of the prep. And he took the horse to Lexington, wasn't looking to win, was looking to have a good race. Came back and got a strong race, really against the bias of the racetrack. And
ran a great race.
And the people that come, you know, the people that are in the know, that are on the air every morning, say how good she looks. I couldn't sit here and tell you that, but they say that, and they say how good she looks. And you know what? I could sit here and try and separate amongst the three. And, you know, I did that, and I left Tarifa off because I thought Tarifa, while she won races, she had some real easy trips. And I don't think she's going to get that kind of an easy trip. I believe Leslie Zanna, the trainer, had her peaked to win last time. And it's difficult to keep
Leslie's Rose.
Leslie Rose, sorry.
That's okay. No, believe me, it gets mind-boggling at times. So yeah, you tell us your thoughts on Leslie's Rose.
My thoughts on Leslie's Rose were Fletcher had her ready to run the last time. And you know what? It's just hard to keep a good horse like that for 4 weeks, you know, as sharp and at that top level of the game. And I think she's going to regress from what she did the last time. And unfortunately, because he had that horse so ready to run, Candide is going to be the horse left out and one horse out. And I think
Our Pretty Woman got in today, and Our Pretty Woman seems live on paper.
Yeah, I know, but just the outside post and that, I think it's a little bit more of a speed horse. I don't think it's there. Now, if Candide gets in, I'd be tempted to put Candy and maybe just FYI and play two horses from the outside and play two on top. Because I don't think Torpedo Anna, while she had some good races, I don't think she's in that class of Candide. I saw what she did in the Breeders' Cup, and I just always thought this horse is a horse that just never has put it together. She's always showed glimpses of brilliance, but she's never put it together, Bob. And I think she will at some point. And unfortunately, it's just not going to be on Oaks Day, is kind of how I feel about Candy. But I mean, yeah. I look at that horse and it's like, it's kind of like a player who's got all the tools, but never put it together and had that breakthrough outstanding game. And one of these days she's going to have that. And she's going to just put an earth-shattering performance together. And, it's just very interesting.
Let me ask you this. So basically, you like a handful of horses or a small handful of horses in the Kentucky Oaks, but you're abundantly confident like you've been really throughout, most of these weeks. Are you keying fierceness in the Kentucky Derby?
I'm keying fierceness on the pick four. I'm keying fierceness on my tries. I'm just 17 on the top line all the way around. I made a mistake. I like Barbaro a lot. This horse almost in a way reminds me of Barbaro. I feel Ooh. Holy Bull. And here's where I'm going to say this. Hear me out on this. Came into, won the Florida Derby from wide. Came into this, I just think this horse on paper, if you look at it, head and shoulders above this crowd, the way Barbaro was head and shoulders above that crowd, they both won the Florida Derby from outside. They both won it convincingly. Just, I don't know. You look at things and things that horses remind you of things like that. Really, the only reason I think he got beaten the Holy Bull was, his first work back was 3 furlongs and he had 2 half-mile works and that's all he had going into the race. It isn't that the horse got in trouble, and he did get in trouble. It's just that he was short. He battled back and got in the lead, and he just was short and couldn't finish the job off. Now this, now the barn's got him fired up. They did the one last time, and he ran a thoroughgraph of a minus figure. I don't know if it was -1 or -3, and he's training better now coming into this. He's outside of the speed. Where Barbaro drew the 8 hole, this horse is going to leave from the 16 post because of the scratch of Encino, but he's going to be outside, but he's going to be able to look at the speed, and he's going to be able to, the jockey, Johnny V, is going to be able to dictate the trip. He doesn't have to have the lead. I don't think he's going to be intense. I think, like you said, he's going to sit off the shoulder of one of these outside horses,
And the Track Phantom, I think, will be sent.
Phantom's going to be sent. The Japanese horse, not Forever Young.
But yeah, T.O. Password, the 10, yeah.
You look at horses like that, they're going to be sent. And he's going to be disciplined enough to say, look, I don't have to go out and get crazy with them. But you know what? I got to be close and be handy. Because in this race, since the point system's been there, with the exception of Rich Strike and Mage last year, closers really don't do that well. You got to come back and you got to really, kind of be near. Horses don't really gain a lot. Now, like you said, this year's field, there's a lot more horses that want the 10 furlongs.
Yeah, it seems like it to me. Well, anyways, Tom, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Have a wonderful time. Good luck with all of your wagers. And I assume you're watching the race from home, or are you going anywhere?
No, I'm going to Fairmont. Fairmont Park, the former, quite frankly, I'm going out there and be out there bright and early. And really, I don't know what time they open the gates. I really hope I can get out there maybe at 7:30, nothing like handicapping while they're still working on the track, and they run a local car that day. So it's kind of a best of both worlds when they have those hour and 15 minutes. Breaks in between the major stakes races in the afternoon. You get to watch some good local racing. You support the sport. That way you look at it all the way. The only problem I have on those days is such a hard time for me to go from handicap from one track to the other. I'm not like these guys that can play 5 tracks at one time, Bob. I'm just not that quick and that detail oriented. But
me neither, Tom. Me neither. Again, thanks for the call and have a wonderful Derby weekend. Tom from St. Louis. A regular caller with a lot of valuable insights for us. Again, you're listening to the BrizNet Call-In Show. This is your hour to express your opinion on all things going on in the sport of thoroughbred racing. The phone number, phone lines are open. The phone number is 888-966-4776, 888-966-HRRN. We're still waiting on our BrizNet co-host, James Scully, who's having an incredibly busy day out there at Churchill Downs. Notably, they continue to run behind schedule at Churchill. You know, I've been looking at the same races for several days. It is Tom made a good point that it is great to have PPs available for these races. Drawing these races on Saturday really helps. It was great to have all the wonderful stakes on the undercard, the Oaks and the Kentucky Derby, and everything laid out. There's some significant changes if you're not aware of them. The biggest change really all week in the Kentucky Oaks. The one horse, the filly Tepet Jen Alley, is out of the race. She was scratched, and that puts Our Pretty Woman in the field, which is kind of exciting. She seems pretty live. She ran second in the Fairground Oaks behind morning line favorite Tarifa. And before that, and again, the Derby. If you didn't know already, if you're sitting down for the first time, the 9 Encino is out, and the 21 Epic Ride gets in for Jeff Ennis and Adam Biskitza. Everybody else is in. We still have a couple of horses on the outside, and including Grade 1 winning 2-year-old filly Candied for Todd Pletcher and Luis Saez, who needs one more defection to get into Kentucky Oaks. Let's go back to the phone lines. Charles from Mississippi, how are you this evening, Charles? What's up?
I'm real good, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm hanging in there.
Well, look, I'll be quick.
You don't have to be quick, Charles.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can be. Yeah, no, you know, I'll cut you off. What's your game plan? Okay. You going to Oaklawn this weekend?
No, but I'm going to an OTB. So
cool.
I'll be up at it early. And
what is your local ATB? OTB?
It's a place called Mound, Louisiana.
There you
go. Right across the river from Vicksburg. Or I can go in and the Riverwalk Casino. They have the Twin Spires.
Perfect. They got all the action for you.
Oh, yeah, you can get. And, hey, if you want a better bat, you know what I mean.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. What's going on?
Well, the thing I want to tell Tom is, I was at Oakland when the Denim and Pearls lost in the slop, and she didn't look like she had the slop good at all. So if it's real sloppy, she won't look as good in the slop as she would on a dry track. I'll just say that.
You know, who's that again?
Denim and Pearls.
Okay, Denim and Pearls. Okay, good point.
But the other thing I'm going to say is this, and I know I'm going to blow some people up when I tell them this.
That's fine.
I've got a bet with anybody that wants to call in. I'll buy you a sandwich, a meal at Oakland next year. I'm going to say Chad Brown's 15 will beat Sierra Leone. I don't care if they run, if one of them runs fifth and one of them runs sixth. I'm just saying domestic product will run better tomorrow or Saturday, better than Sierra Leone.
I mean, it's an interesting point. I mean, domestic product, you know, the comments recently on his morning work, again, this is the 15 by Practical Joke out of a Painter mare, 30-1 in the morning line, but has the benefit of the services of Irad Ortiz Jr., in the race, again, horse training up to the race very well. What do you like about domestic product under the fact he's doing well?
All right, but,
or is it more a negative comment on Sierra Leone?
No. Well, I don't like the way Sierra Leone runs. I mean, I was at the fairgrounds. I just think he beat. There's something about him that I've never seen a horse win the Derby that ran like Sierra Leone. Okay, never. There's just something about him that I.
What about Orb?
I think Orb took his benefit of the wet track.
Okay. I think Sierra Leone doesn't mind those.
The Malibu Moons have always been good on a wet track, and I'm going to tell you something that the wet track, the horse that the wet track, and I'm trying not to skip all over the world on you, Bob, but that Tarifa out of that Bernardini, she should be a monster on a wet track.
She shouldn't bother. Yet.
And that's the morning line favorite.
That's Tarifa, the 8, and the Kentucky Oaks, 7-2 on the morning line. Yeah. Flavian Pratt, Brad Cox. Yeah. Hard to argue with connections. I mean, that's a deep group. And you like Tarifa and the Oaks?
The horse I really like is Torpedo. I saw her run at Oakline coming out the 12 hole. I thought she was a bear. I like the Ways and Means, but those are going to be my three horses in the Oaks. And I do have a large bet on Torpedo. But that Tarifa moves way up, Bob. And my four horses, my superfecta is going to be Mystic Dan, the Japanese horse, Forever Young.
Forever Young,
the 15,
yep.
And the 17.
And, so Fierceness, domestic product, Forever Young, and your longtime favorite, Mystic Dan, who's 20-1 in the morning line, the three horse with Brian Hernandez Jr.
Well, right.
Yeah,
Bob,
I mean,
that Japanese ahead. Horse is going to have to be dealt with, buddy. That Japanese horse is going to have to be dealt with.
If he can duplicate his efforts in the Middle East, it'll take a good horse to beat him.
Well, another thing too is he obviously travels well. He obviously travels well, and that's one thing he has to do. But I watched him and watched him. I watched the replays. I'm not going to discount him. And one thing that scares me, I don't like horses that have started less than 5 times in the Kentucky Derby. I know you can give me Justify, you can give me this one and that one, but I like horses that have seasoning, and I'm just telling you that Mystic Dan will hit the board. He will hit the board. I can't guarantee you he will win, but he will hit the board. I've watched Sierra Leone 2 or 3 times. I've watched Mock Horse.
Resilience. Yeah, he looked like he's moving forward after
Bob,
in the woods.
You can watch a lot of races. Name me one fast horse that you could recommend that is on Fierceness's level. When you look at has Sierra Leone ever run a fast race?
If Fierceness breaks well and runs a race up to his, Florida Derby and his Breeders' Cup Juvenile. If he runs his A-game race, he's definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with. My concern with him is the distance and, how far back he is.
Right. If he gets that anchor chain out, Bob, about 1.36 miles, that's the only thing that scares me about him.
That scares me.
And I know that. Yeah. I know that.
You want
Japanese
him to be 6 in front at the 8th pole.
If you bet him, you would need him 6 or 7, buddy.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call, Charles. Have a wonderful time. Safe trip to Louisiana. I hope Mystic Dan lights the board for you. And Torpedo Anna, when you say you've got a large bet on one, you're not kidding around. Thanks very much. Have a great time. And thanks for calling the BrizNet call-in show. We sure do appreciate you, Charles. Okay, let's go to Shane in North Carolina. Shane, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Great. Happy Derby Week.
Happy Derby Week to you. It's a very exciting time of the year. Almost mind-boggling.
Yes, sir. It's a great week, and Derby Day is one of the best days of the year. I always say it's Christmas with horses.
Absolutely. That's a nice angle. What are your thoughts on the Derby?
You know, Bob, I think this has been a difficult Derby, at least for me to handicap. I've gone back and forth, and I almost went with Sierra Leone, but I'm going to go with Chasing Freedom. I think he's going to get Brad Cox to the winner's circle the right way.
Right.
He's got to win on the track. And I think Pratt's going to keep him closer to the pace than he was in the Louisiana Derby. And I think he's going to give him the country house ride.
Well, he's capable of it. I mean, he's Flavian Pratt. He's as good a rider as anybody going to the gate. I think he's definitely, keep in mind, Brad Cox has 3 in here. Obviously, his go-to man for the last several years has been Florent Giroux, who rides Just a Touch, who's 10-1 in the morning line. I have a feeling he's getting a little bit ignored. Seems like kind of an under-the-radar horse. And then Encino, of course, was scratched. That would have been his third, and that let Epic Rad get in the field. But so you like Catching Freedom as eight wide bin to the win the Louisiana Derby over Honor Marie, impressed you, and then he's trained forwardly since.
He has. And, I mean, if you look at Flavian Pratt in the Derby, Bob, last year, third with Angel of Empire, 2022, Zandon, third, Hot Rod Charlie, second in 2021, Country House, I know he got bumped up to the win, but he's second, first. And then you got Battle of Midway in 2017 at, what, 30-1?
Yeah, no, lots of big prices you're talking about here. Yeah, lots of big prices. Pratt's outstanding.
Yeah, the only dud was Soleimani, you know. I think he finished 10th. So, I mean, I feel good having Flavian Pratt, you know, on Chasing Freedom. And I just feel like if he's a little bit closer to the pace, I think he can get the jump on Sierra Leone. Now, you know he's going to be coming like a tank, but I get this feeling that Chasing Freedom is a little bit quicker. And if he gets the first jump, I think he can get there. And if we can get 8, 9, 10-1, I'd love it.
Yeah, I think you're going to get that. I'm not too concerned about that. So again, Shane's pick in the Kentucky Derby is Catching Freedom, 8-1 in the morning line for Flavian Pratt. Again, a rider that's proven in recent years that he knows how to ride this mile and a quarter race, and really an unflappable rider. He won't be overwhelmed by the occasion for trainer Brad Cox. Shane, thanks for sharing your thoughts. You're listening to the BrizNet call-in show. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with the last segment, hoping to be joined by James Scully, but he's very busy over at Churchill Downs. Again, the phone lines are open. The number is 888-966-4776. You're listening to the BrizNet call-in show on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the BrizNet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
It's time to prepare for this year's Kentucky Oaks and Derby, and no website has better study materials than BrizNet.com. Want all the essentials to handicap both days for one low price? Then check out BrizNet's Ultimate Oaks and Derby Handicapping Package at BrizNet.com/plans. For only $29.99, get all your favorites for both days, including ultimate past performances, expert picks, and historical data from the past 24 Kentucky Derbies. That's $56 worth of handicapping products, all for just $29.99. Plus, you'll also receive 20% off all other Oaks and Derby Picks products when you purchase the package. Visit BrizNet.com/plans now to get your ultimate Oaks and Derby handicapping package.
A reputation of excellence isn't built overnight. Day by day, year by year, decade after decade. For over 100 years, Claiborne's commitment to quality has led to unrivaled success. 10 Kentucky Derby winners, 6 Triple Crown winners, 17 Horses of the Year, 23 Hall of Famers, and over 300 champions. Building on the past, building for the future. Claiborne Farm. The tradition continues.
Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee was born and raised in Lexington, Kentucky. Just 80 miles from the twin spires of Churchill Downs, always dreaming of the day when he might have a horse worthy of winning the world's most famous horse race, the Kentucky Derby. Prior to the 2013 running, McGahee had saddled just 6 horses in the Derby, coming tantalizingly close to realizing his dream 24 years earlier when favorite Easy Goer finished second in the 1989 renewal. There would be no such disappointment for Shug in the 139th Kentucky Derby on May 4th, 2013, as Regally Bred Orm would finally make his trainer's boyhood dream come true.
Orm is now beginning to fly down the wide outside, and so too is My Loop. They're racing down towards the final furlong, Normandy Invasion, but here is Orm on the outside. Orm and Joel Rosario take the lead with a 16th of a mile to go in the Kentucky Derby. Orm is down in front. Jarvis Moore is absolutely flying. In fact, it's Golden Soul, but it is Orm to win the Derby.
Orm's emphatic victory was one for the good guys and provided all of us with another memorable moment in Kentucky Derby history.
This is the BrizNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Good evening and welcome back to the BrizNet Call-In Show. Again, the phone lines are open. The number is 888-966-4776. Your opportunity to voice your opinions on Oaks, Derby, and everything else going on this weekend at Churchill Downs. Before we bring Gary in, I'd like to welcome back James Scully to the show. How you doing, James?
I am doing great, Bob. Happy Oaks. Happy Derby to you. Sorry for joining you late. I caught the end of Shane's call, and I think he's absolutely right. Catching Freedom, he hit his head in the gate before they spring the latch, and then he got all turned sideways when the gates opened, and I think that's why he was away last. I definitely think they'd love to be like sitting 14th or so, you know, and not at the tail end of the field, and maybe he can get first jump. But Sierra Leone's my horse in the Derby, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't bother you at all, James, that those two horses are drawn towards the inside, Sierra Leone in 2, Catching Freedom in 4, Fast Track or Wet Track.
I thought that the most ridiculous thing, they used to, like, for a time in the late 2000, like, when Big Brown won it, there was a period of time in there where the trainers picked the post positions, they drew numbers, and the trainers went up and picked
them. Yeah, that was silly.
And you would see trainers on deep closers taking outside posts because they thought it was the best place to break from, and then the horses run diagonally and lose ground going to the rail in order to save ground. So I think for deep closers, the best place to be drawn in the Derby is on the inside part of the field. I'd be worried if he drew post 16 or 17. I'd be like, heck, I mean, he's not going to be running straight the whole time, and that won't be an issue. I mean, Tyler knows the horse. He doesn't, to me, with Sierra Leone, they don't care if they're 17th, 18th, 19th, or 20th. If they're 20th early, they don't care. They're going to run by all the horses is the way they see it, however many are in front of them, and it's just a matter of Tower getting the right trip, you know, I think going into the far turn.
Yeah, no, good point. And unquestionably, these horses have both in their brief careers taken abundant kickback, and of course in Sierra Leone's case, some of the nastiest racetracks you can imagine, and he still manages. In fact, he's also proven on a beautiful day in a fast track in the bluegrass. So, two exceptional.
He was the only wide closer to win on that track on the opening weekend from 27 dirt races.
Yeah, and I mean, you could really play that way the whole meet. I was rather impressed by Just FYI closing into the teeth of the Speed Bias and the Ashland behind Leslie's Rose. Let's go out. Yeah. Gary's been waiting. Let's go to the phone lines, James. Here's Gary. Gary, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Happy Derby week, guys. How you doing?
Great. Same.
Well, you took some of my steam away from the Sierra Leone touting there. I was going to say a few of the things that you said. You know, I've been saying he doesn't even know how to run yet. When this guy puts it together, look out. It's exciting, you know, this week from a fan standpoint. You know, you get to see the best of the breed, just like a Breeders' Cup or a Dubai. You know, I'm kind of, from the standpoint, though, as a gambler, the everyday is the bread and butter, the everyday cards. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. There'll be some wagering done. And the first wager that I'm going to do is I will take up Charles in Mississippi on your wager on the B horse against Sierra Leone. But to make it fair, I mean, that wouldn't be fair to poor Charles. You can have Fierceness and the B horse against Sierra Leone. You can have them both. And I can taste the corned beef and the adult beverage already next year down there at Oakland. Wow, it'll be great. That's about all I got to say. Happy handicapping to everybody. Good luck. I will have I'll have a ways and means to both Chads. I will throw Chad's other horse in. I'm going to have a ways and means to both the Chad horses for the double. But, yeah, Charles, I look forward to seeing you next year and having you buy me that sandwich. Thanks, guys.
Have a great evening, Gary. Thanks very much. Again, you're listening to the BrizNet Call-In Show. The phone lines are open, 888-966-4776. James, how you holding up, man? Incredibly busy out there, I imagine.
Yeah, you know, it's I still feel pretty good. I got two long days ahead, but been here. This is my third day I came in. I'm working all week, Tuesday through Saturday, and staying busy, you know, doing a lot of work. But it's so exciting. This is my 37th Kentucky Derby, and, you know, no matter how tired or worn down you can get when you're real busy, I just always, like, think about it. I mean, I'm going to be so excited when those horses break from the gate. I think that's really, you know, as well as, you know, if your horse is in contention turning for home. But I just love the start of the Derby. It's so fascinating to see, you know, how it all shakes up early.
Yeah, no, unquestionably. And I assume you'll be watching from the racetrack.
I will be. You know, I usually I like very. I mean, I've got like asset. I'm going to go probably watch it. I like to go to a spot and be by myself so I could pay attention more closely. But then as soon as the race is over, I'm immediately watching TV replays. So it's hard to pick up the first time what's going on with the whole field. And, you know, I think this year's race is exciting because, you know, the presence of Fierceness in Sierra Leone. I mean, both those horses have big, big time talent. And I thought the Oaks came up really competitive. I know Gary likes Ways and Means. That's the one filly I'm going to try to beat. I think the distance is going to trip her up, but that might just be an indication for the audience to bet Ways and Means because I'm against her.
Yeah, what about the what's going on at Brisnet.com this weekend?
Yeah, I just
obviously
want to mention Brisnet.com. We have got a great package, $29.99. We're going to have a ton of information, picks, insights, analysis. We've got this Derby primer that is packed with information. You get all these tip sheets, analysis, much, much more. Go to Brisnet.com and check out the Kentucky Derby and Oaks handicapping package. And I'll mention Twin Spires. If you're betting the Derby or if you're betting the card, opt in for the money back promotion. We have that on every single race. If your horse runs second or third, you bet $10 to win on it. We'll give you your $10 back.
Real quick, I want to mention on Betting with Bobby tomorrow from 4 to 6 Eastern, 3 to 5. He'll cover races from Churchill, Aqueduct and Oaklawn Park, possibly Santa Anita too. He was hoping to get in the live call of the Kentucky Oaks, but that seems very unlikely in that time frame, despite the 551 first post. Let's go out to the phone lines, James. We've got Dave from Chicago.
Hello, boys. Hey, James. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Sound merry.
Oh, that's great. James, once again, another year, holding court on Millionaire's Row, waving to all the minions with his chalet and his king hat there. I saw that last year. Me and Bobby were freezing our ass off in Radio Row, and James is holding court on Millionaire's Row with a hot cup of coffee and his cape there and holding court. But we won't talk about that. James is a great guy.
I'll try to imagine what it would be like.
Didn't get a chance to make it out there this year. I'll definitely be there next year. Did have a couple questions. Two things. Charles Appleby, I was kind of surprised that he did not put Silver Knot in the Old Forestry turf right before the Derby. I was kind of surprised on that. I don't know why.
It would have been a little bit of a quick turnaround.
And it was great to see Silver Knot get back to the winner's circle. I mean, so many frustrating placings. You know, it's a pretty amazing training job to get Silver Knot going back in the right direction.
Yeah, and I thought for such a tough post that he had in the last race, I really thought that he was going to turn him around and bring him back because I really thought he should have been in this race because I think he took second last year in the race. And I thought he ran as best as he could in the last race in that post at that track. I was not understanding it, but you know, he's the trainer. So, the other thing, is for the Derby. I think Fierceness is going to run away with it. I don't think he's going to win by, what he did at the Florida Derby, but I think he's figured it out. I think he's going to settle him in, run the race that he would normally run, like he did at the Florida Derby. And he probably could go off by five. Sierra Leone's probably going to be running like a freight train, but I think there's going to be too many horses and too much traffic to work their way around. So there's a couple ways I was going to go. I like Track Phantom. But I think to learn from what happened with Rich Strike, I could take 17 and all for an exact and all in 17, and then just with the rest of my money start, you know, pounding the, you know, $5 straight exactors or $10 or $20 straight exactors, because learning from that race, I think that dollar exacta paid a huge amount. And if you had all with the favorite, you're making a ton of money for, you know, $30 or $19. So, but I just wanted to finish with that. And James, hopefully see you soon. And maybe we'll see each other at Downs After Dark. All right. See you, buddy. See you guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
A lot, Dave. Alrighty. Yeah, Dave, we appreciate the call. Again, yeah. You're listening to the BrizNet. Colin,
thanks,
James.
Guys.
Any live selections for the listeners in terms of the Oaks and Derby undercards?
On the Derby card, I like Houdé. I thought he was against the track in the Lafayette. He ran a really good second. That Pat Day mile on Saturday is absolutely loaded with speed, and I think that he's going to get the right trip, Ohio bred. And I'm really keen to bet him. I also liked on Saturday a little bit in the sprint. I liked Bo Cruz coming off that win at Keeneland. I think he's real sharp right now. The on Friday's card, you know, Kajera not going to offer any price, but I'm going to play some big pick threes around her. Take a stand against Idiomatic, who came back from a layoff last year with a real dull third. And I just don't think Pretty Mischievous as fast as those two, Kajera and Idiomatic. And then I'm against Hard to Justify in the Edgewood. I'm playing Bushu there for Phil Bauer. I like her a lot, so I'll be singler in her in the Edgewood.
To taking a stand against Hard to Justify, of course, the winner of the
Breeders. Have you heard my angle about that? Five Breeders.
Well, I mean,
go ahead. It's just a layoff. That race has proven impossible for fillies to come back. Newspaper record won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies turf by 7 lengths at Churchill Downs, came back in the Edgewood at Churchill Downs and got beat 5 lengths. Just could not run her race off of the shelf. And Aunt Pearl was the same thing. Aunt Pearl, newspaper record, both 1-5 in the race, and both got beat pretty handily.
Yeah, I wonder if Pink Polka Dots can bounce back at a huge price from the Royal.
I think so. I thought that race was. I thought her races at Fairgrounds were real strong, and she simply didn't like the Tapeta track at Turfway.
And then, I mean, Buku has been mind blowing at Keeneland. I mean, do you think that she can transfer that form over to Churchill?
I do, and one thing about her is she likes turf with give to it. You can see, like, I mean, she's won multiple times on turf, maybe not yielding, but at least with not firm. So that the turf's going to have some rain. You know, everybody, it's like a 95% chance. So especially for the turf, you know, turf's going to have some give to it on Friday and Saturday. The main track might be fast by the time they're running the stakes on Saturday because it draws so fast. But we're going to have some off conditions on Friday, it looks like.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us, James. I haven't heard your most recent assessment of the Kentucky Oaks, especially since it's likely to be running off track.
Yeah, I like Just FYI. She ran a huge race in the Frisette to win that, and people sort of overlooked it because it was sloppy and she was going to a fast track. She can handle any footing. I think she moves forward off that runner-up effort in the Ashland, where she wasn't wide the whole way like Candy, but she did go a little wide off the turn, and that wasn't the best place to be. And I look for her to move forward off that effort and run a real big race with Belmont.
Yeah, no, fantastic. A lot to look forward to. You enjoy yourself out there. And I hope you cash plenty of tickets. Always wonderful to hear you. Even if you joined me for the last 2 minutes of the show, obviously we could have used you throughout. Obviously, I bobbled a lot early, but wonderful to have you on the BrizNet call-in show. Thanks for everything, and have a wonderful Oaks and Derby. Look forward to talking to you soon, James.